For those of you that don't know, and if you don't know what today is, you might be in trouble, but for those of you that don't know, today is February 14th, which means today is Valentine's Day, which means that today, love is in the air. Now, some of you that knew that today was going to be Valentine's Day, you might have gone out to the store and maybe you purchased a special card that you filled out and you plan to drop off at Chick-fil-A because you love their chicken sandwiches. Now, some of you might be doing things a little bit differently. Maybe you're going to kind of make yourself vulnerable. You're going to put yourself out there this year. It's not your thing normally, but you decided to write a poem. The Buccaneers wear red. Kansas City fans are blue. But Tom Brady, I love that third quarter touchdown pass you threw. Because you did, because you had 9-1 in your Super Bowl office pool, and that put you over the top. It made your week. Now, some of you, more seriously, you know, you might have had plans, and, you know, they're not what they normally are. Maybe you were hoping to go out, and some of you may have, and some of you might not have been comfortable doing that, so you were going to get takeout. You planned to get some really nice takeout from a place in the Heights. You got a filet mignon. You're going to bring it home, cooked perfectly, and feed it to that lovable mutt, Doggy Howser, because you love him more than anything in the world. Now, I share these examples to make a couple of different points this morning. One is that we talk about love in a lot of different ways, don't we? You love Chick-fil-A. You love what happened at the Super Bowl. You love your puppy. And especially, even when we're talking about loving more traditional people like our spouses or our kids or our grandkids, especially at Valentine's Day, we express that love in some unique and different ways that we don't really do the rest of the year. Cards and poetry and chocolates and flowers and things like that. And because of that, because we've all got all that different love going around in the air, well, when we come to the scriptures and talk about God's love for us, maybe it's hard to really understand what biblically is being talked about because it probably means something different than flowers and chocolates from God to us. So this morning we're going to take some time and we're going to talk about God's love for us. And to do that, we're going to be in 1 John 4:9-10. That's 1 John 4:9-10. If you want to turn there in your Bibles or open up your app. Now, again, this is not the Gospel of John. It's in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. But that same guy, he wrote a number of letters that show up later in the New Testament, like near the very end of your Bible, 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John. And we are in 1 John 4:9-10. And in that passage, we read these words. This is how God showed his love among us. He sent his one and only Son into the world that we might live through him. This is love. Not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. This morning we're going to work through this passage together today and simply talk about three important aspects of God's love for us. And the first is this, that God's love for us, God's love for you, is shown. God's love for you, for me, for us, is something that is shown. This is how God showed his love among us. And I know that seems basic, but that's also important to understand because a lot of the time when we talk about love, we're talking about something that's immaterial, right? Like a feeling inside, a fluttering of the heart. But love, God's love for us, is something that doesn't just exist as a feeling, but something that impacts his actions on our behalf. It is shown. It is lived out. Truth be told, we understand this as well. After all, that's what Valentine's Day is, right? You don't just start loving someone because it's Valentine's Day. Rather, Valentine's Day provides an opportunity for you to show that love. And so that's why you get the cards. So that's why someone might make you heart-shaped pancakes in bed, as we had in our household this morning. And from Penny, so thank you, Penny, for that one. And you know, but you look for opportunities to show that love. All of you wanted to show your love for our Grace Bible Church kids by sending out those amazing Valentine's Day bags. Like, we understand that love should not just be a feeling, but that it should ultimately be lived out. Well, if we understand that, fallen, broken, sinful humans, trust me, God knows that so much more. And so when we talk about God's love for us, we are not just talking about the eternal God liking you or even loving you and just a sense that he has a positive feeling in his heart towards you. It means that the God of the universe is acting on your behalf, and he wants to show that love to you. And he does that in a multitude of different ways. It could be in, you know, a beautiful sunrise and just the sheer beauty of it. It could be in an answer to prayer and the way that you'd been praying for just a good health day and you had one that day when your grandkids came over and just praise him for that answer to prayer. That's an act of love from him to you. Maybe it's that encouraging word that you need at just the right moment. All of those are acts of love. I know I said that God's love isn't really shown in flowers and chocolates, but I got to take that back now because in some ways it is. You know, when he made flowers, he could have just copy and pasted like Daisy over and over across the world. If you love daisies, I guess that would be fantastic for you. But you know what? Think about just all the beautiful flowers he made. And each has a unique scent and aroma and the multitude of colors. And chocolates, let's talk about chocolates. They taste delicious, don't they? Listen, God didn't even have to give us a sense of taste. He could have just made it this bland nutrition that comes into our bodies. Though I know I've talked to a number of you that have had COVID-19, right? And what do you say? I can't taste anything. Well, guess what? God didn't have to give us taste buds. Our entire existence could have been like just that bland, tasteless taking in of food. But he wanted us to enjoy it. He gave that to us. Even something as simple as the sweetness of chocolate, the Bible tells us every good and perfect gift comes from our Father in heaven above. So all those good things, those are ways that God is showing his love to you and I. God's love is shown. But there's a specific way that God's love is shown that we want to talk about together this morning. That leads to our second truth about God's great love for us. God's love is shown, and also, God was willing to sacrifice for you. God was willing to sacrifice for you. God's love for you is sacrificial. This is how God showed his love among us. He sent his one and only Son into the world that we might live through him. There's a multitude of ways that God has shown his love, but John wants to speak to us about one in particular, that he sent his one and only Son into the world. If that phrasing sounds familiar, well, it should. It's the same guy that wrote this, wrote the most famous Bible verse of all time, John 3:16. For God so loved the world, he sent his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. And again, he sent his one and only Son. In fact, it's the exact same word in both John 3:16 and here in 1 John 4:9. His one and only Son. If you grew up memorizing the same version I did, only begotten Son. But what it means is something that is completely and utterly unique. Something that is one of a kind. Something that is irreplaceable. Like, that's what that word in the Greek means. And it means that God was willing to sacrifice something that was completely and utterly unique on our behalf to show his love for us. That godly love, that truest of loves, is sacrificial. I remember when I was a kid, and it was Valentine's Day. And my dad, he brought home one of those big red heart-shaped boxes of chocolates for all of us to enjoy. And I remember digging into it and saying to my dad, "Thanks for bringing us home these chocolates." The truth is, we didn't get a treat like that very often. So it was extra special. And you know what? I'll never forget what my dad said to me. I mean, I was only in like fifth grade, so I don't remember it word for word, but I definitely remember the gist of it very well. And it went like this. He said, "Son, it's no big deal. Someone brought them into work, they were free." Which is 100% like my dad, and it's 100% like me. My brother's probably watching too. You know the truth of it. It is. We call it Kip genetics, and we all have it. But here's what's interesting, and here's what I want us to understand about that. If my dad just got some chocolates for work at free, that's what was left over, and he brought it home. Or if my dad, you know, thought of us, went out to the store, made that sacrifice of time and money to buy a big heart-shaped box of chocolates and bring it to us to eat, either way, guess what? I end up with chocolates. But isn't it funny the way that a willingness to sacrifice changes the way we understand that love? When it's just free and left over, it doesn't quite mean the same as someone willing to make a sacrifice so that you can have it and experience it. And you know what, friends, that's downright biblical. I love the way that this shows up in the Old Testament. Back in 2 Samuel 24, when David is preparing to purchase the land that we will come to refer to as the Temple Mount, he goes to a man and offers to pay for it, and the man says, No. You're the king. You're going to do this for God. Let me give it to you. And David says these words. He says, "No, I insist on paying you for it. I will not sacrifice to the Lord my God burnt offerings that cost me nothing." David understood that love, the deepest of loves, is sacrificial. If it's free, if it doesn't cost us anything, takes no effort, it doesn't quite mean the same thing. Which, again, makes what God did for us through Jesus so amazing. Let's revisit this idea that God was willing to love us sacrificially in the gift of Christ. If you think about it, Christ is the only way that God could truly sacrifice anything for us. And I say that simply for this reason, that God created the entire universe with a single word. So if God were to give us gold and silver and jewels and diamonds, he could just speak more into existence. No effort, no difficulty. If God were to give us, again, flowers and chocolates, all he has to do is speak them into being. If God wanted to give you the sun and moon and the stars themselves, guess what? All it takes is a single word and he can have more to replace them. In fact, the only thing that God could give us that would truly be a sacrifice for him would be the one thing in this world, this universe, that is completely and utterly unique, completely and utterly irreplaceable, and that is God himself. And so, in God's great love for us, he was willing to give us himself, the Son, God made flesh, to come and live in this world, to experience hurt and pain and rejection, and ultimately, death on a cross for the forgiveness of our sins. That's the sacrifice God was willing to make for us. God's love is shown. God's love for you is sacrificial. And perhaps deepest and most meaningful of all, God showed you this sacrificial love when you did not love him in return. God showed you and I this sacrificial love when we did not love him in return. This is love, John says. Not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. This is love, not that we love God. You see, that's how we expect love to work for us, right? We expect love to be mutual. You put in love, and then you expect to get love in return. That's the way it works in a good, healthy human relationship. And it should exist that way in human relationships. I mean, let's be honest. If your daughter or your granddaughter is engaged to be married, and, you know, she and her fiancé, their dating anniversary, get this, it's February 14th. And then 2 years later when they got engaged, they did it on Valentine's Day, February 14th. And you know, if this is the one-year anniversary of their engagement, they still haven't set a date yet. And you say to her, hey, dear, did you guys do anything special for your big day? And she says to you this, she says, oh, well, you know what, I got him just a beautiful leather portfolio for work. It's got his initials monogrammed into it. He's going to love it. And you know what? I made him just his favorite meal for dinner this weekend. And I know he really enjoyed that on Friday. And then you say, well, what did he do for you? And she says, oh, well, I mean, I think he forgot what day it was. He made plans to go with his friends ice fishing up in Wisconsin this weekend. But he said he might bring me back some fish to clean for him. So I guess I'll have that to look forward to. You know, if that's what's happening in the relationship, doesn't that send up like some red flags for you? Like, dear, maybe you need to rethink this. If he missed Valentine's Day and your dating anniversary and your engagement anniversary, and they're all on the same day, and he's going fishing instead and didn't even remember you, you know what? There needs to be at least a little bit of love there. But yet, we're told this in 1 John, that we did not love God at that time when he showed love to us. We did not deserve it. We did not earn it. In fact, we're told that not only did we not love God, but that he loved us and sent his son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. An atoning sacrifice is what we are supposed to offer to God to confess our sins and our shortcoming and that we have done wrong in his eyes. But guess what? None of us were even willing to truly make it, to truly love him in return, to even see the depth of our sin, and God knew that. God knew that not only were we sinners, but we were trapped in our sin, that we did not love him back, and he loved us so much that he was still willing to send Jesus as a sacrifice for our sins. And friends, that type of love is dangerous. I mean, it is. To fully love someone else when you will not receive that love in return. But that is what God showed to each and every one of us. He loved you. He loved you totally, fully, unconditionally. When you did not love him in return, when you were not interested in making amends, he still loved you. You so much so that he was willing to sacrifice himself. His one and only son, one of the few completely and utterly irreplaceable things in all of existence. Because of that love. Do you understand that God loves you? And again, not just flowers and chocolates loves you, but this is how God loves you. God loves you just the way you are. God loves you whether you were here at church in person or whether you said, it is too cold for me to go to church. I am staying home today. God loves you just the same. You don't have to earn God's love. You don't have to work for God's love. Whether you tithe to church or not, God loves you just the same. God's love isn't increased or decreased based on your good behavior. Whether you got in an argument with your spouse this weekend or not, God loves you just the same. Now, I don't mean to say that God doesn't appreciate when we show him love in response. I'm sure he's blessed by that. When you get two chocolate hearts and one of them is cracked, and you let your sister have the whole one, and you take the cracked one on Valentine's Day. You know, God loves that you thought of someone instead of yourself. God loves when you go out in the cold and you shovel that neighbor's driveway. God was no doubt tickled pink by just the beautiful response of our church family and sending 25 of all sorts of amazing things for our GBC kids. God loves those things, but please make no mistake. God loves you whether you did those things or not, because God loves you even when you don't love him in return. Well, this is love. Not that we loved God, but that he loved his son and sent his son as an he loved us and sent his son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. And again, that love is not something that just exists in the past 2,000 years ago. That love continues to this day. And again, not just a feeling, not just that God likes you, not just that God doesn't want to spite you or anything like that. Do you understand that God knows you by name? That the God of the universe is there with you when you wake up each day? That whether you go to work, or you're logging on to work, or you're headed to school, that God is there, and that God is cheering you on, and that God is passionate about your day, and that God has planned out what lies before you, and that God wants what's best for you in whatever there is in store. That he is actively working on your behalf even now. That there are good things in store for you in the week ahead that God has prepared just for you. That there may be challenges in the week ahead, but that God has put them there or allowed them to be there knowing that he is going to see you through, that you will grow and mature through them and come to love him and trust him even more because of it. That the God of the universe, that his greatest desire is simply for you to love him and know his love. In fact, that's the first and greatest commandment, is it not? Love the Lord your God with all of your heart, soul, mind, and strength. And the second is like it, to love your neighbor as yourself. And what's amazing is that that's what God wants for us. But whether we give it back to God or not, he has poured out that love for each and every one of us. God loves you totally, fully, unconditionally. Pastor, you're thinking, I mean, that sounds great, but that's too good to be true. How can we know, that God really would love us in that way? Well, it is amazing, isn't it, that God gave us a reminder of that love. A physical, tangible reminder to help all of us understand on a regular basis that God loves us totally and fully and unconditionally, that he wants to show us that sacrificial love. And that reminder is communion, is the bread and the cup. It is a physical, tangible reminder left behind for us of that great love of God. In Luke 22, 19, and 20, we're told this, that on that final night, Jesus took bread, and he gave thanks, and he broke it, and he gave it to them, saying, "This is my body given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." It is a reminder for us of the great love that God has shown to each and every one of us. And so it seems only appropriate that we would conclude our service celebrating God's love with a reminder of it as we prepare to take the bread and the cup. Jesus gave thanks before they partook, so let us do the same. Our Father God in heaven, we give you thanks for your great love. We have not earned it. We do not deserve it. You will never get more from us than you have given. This is a losing proposition in so many ways. And yet we stand here under your love, and we are blessed. We don't understand it. We can't comprehend it, but we have experienced it. And so together, as your children adopted through the sacrifice of Christ, we gather together here and afar this morning, and we remember your great love, and we give you thanks. We pray these things in the name of your Son and by the power of your Spirit. Amen. So those of you here and that picked yours up at home, we've got these handy communion cups. So the way it works is you can peel off the top layer first, and that's the bread. And again, we're told that he, Jesus, took bread, gave thanks, and broke it, and gave it to them, saying, "This is my body given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, which is poured out for you." Christ's blood poured out for you. Gracious Heavenly Father, if we started to thank you now and didn't stop thanking you until you called us home to eternity, we still could not thank you enough. Thank you for your love. Thank you for your sacrifice. And Lord, as we head out from here into the week ahead, the truth is that we are entering into a broken, fallen world that is seeking to pull our eyes away from you, that is seeking to discourage, that is seeking to hinder us. And Lord, we ask that through the midst of whatever trials may await in the week ahead, that we would see your love clearly and fully, and that we would trust you to carry us through. We pray these things in the name of your Son, and by the power of your Spirit. Amen. As you go forth this week, may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, may the love of God the Father, and may the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. You are dismissed.